Hello. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. During this Feast of Tabernacles, we have looked at faith and hope. Today, we will examine charity or love. In the life of Jesus, towards the very end of his human existence, Judas betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver. It was after Judas left that Jesus taught the remaining disciples the value of love. Jesus knew he would be betrayed by Judas and emphasized love to the remaining disciples. He told them this was a new commandment, that they love each other as he had loved them, and explained that it would be through love that others would identify them as the disciples of Jesus. John 13, verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. The word for love used in verse 35 is Strong's Greek word 26, agape. And the other word for love used in this passage is derived from agape. It implies a benevolence of love, where love not only exists, love exists within a framework of peace. Because we live in an age where people are lovers of themselves, the concept of love is distorted. Some have believed that physical or emotional abuse is part of love, and yet the love that Jesus spoke of, agape, is a benevolent love. The love we are to have is a love of peace that does not hide physical or emotional abuse. In an earlier section of John, we are told that God the Father loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish, but have eternal life. The love that God has is a benevolent love that leads to peace. Those who have faith in Jesus are not condemned because when light entered a dark world, they believed the light. Imagine how hard it would be to pursue darkness after sunrise. That's similar to what evil people do. Evil people hate the spiritual light, the truth, and pursue after the lie and evil. John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. We are called the sons of God, through an act of benevolent love, agape, by God the Father. John shows that we are now the sons of God, even though we can't comprehend the spiritual nature of our future existence. We can rest assured that when that time comes, we will be like God and be able to see God as God exists, much like the angels in the heavenly throne room of God see God. If we have this hope, we will purify ourselves, as John begins to braid the connection between faith, hope, and love. John also shows that we will practice righteousness and leave evil acts to Satan and the demons. People who do not practice righteousness are not of God, just as much as people who do not love their brother or sister in Christ. Since the very beginning of time, since the Garden of Eden when people lived on earth, God's message has been on point and can be concisely focused that we love one another. We are not to be like Cain, who killed his brother over a fit of jealousy. We are not to be like the world that might hate us, nor are we to be concerned when others do hate us, because through the calling of God the Father and the faith of Jesus, we have passed from death to life. As long as we continue on our spiritual journey looking forward and not looking backward as Lot's life looked back at Sodom and was turned into salt, we will continue in life. We will continue in life because the love of God gave his only son for us. Just as love resulted in the sacrifice of Jesus, we are to be a sacrifice for others through love, by helping others who have need. John concludes that love is not consummated through the words or language we use, but in actions we take reflecting and aligned to the truth. 1 John 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that, when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. He cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest in the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and truth. Jesus taught that love was not to be only extended to our family and friends, but also to our enemies and to people who despitefully use us. When others curse us, we are to bless them. When others are greedy towards us, we are to repay with generosity. Our standard must become to do to others as we would want to be treated. In this world, it is expected that we do good to others who treat us well. Our goal is to do good to others who treat us poorly, to lend to others when there is not a chance for repayment, knowing that our reward will be great. We have all at some point in our life treated God poorly, and there is nothing within us except for the Holy Spirit that is a gift of God that is inherently worthy of salvation. When God gives us the gift of salvation, there is nothing we can do ever to repay God for his grace towards us. We are to pursue righteousness while being grateful, extending mercy to others as God has been merciful towards us. How we treat others will be used by God as the measure by how he will judge us. Luke 6, verse 27. But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto them that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have you? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Jesus knew what it was like to be hated by others. The Pharisees hated Jesus and sought to blackball him with tricky questions. One of the influential Pharisees asked which commandment in the law was great. Jesus told him that loving God with one's heart, soul, and mind was the first and great command, and then offered the second commandment was to love your neighbor as yourself. During our recent study on the Ten Commandments, we saw that the first four commandments showed us how to love God, and the remaining commandments showed us how to love other people. Matthew 22, verse 34. But when the Pharisees had heard that he put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. And then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. In writing to the Romans, Paul showed that God showed his love towards us through the death and resurrection of Jesus so that we could have eternal life. Not only will we be adjudicated not guilty through the death of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus will give us access to eternal life. Romans 5, verse 6. For when we are yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. It is God's love for us that provides mercy for us. Prior to our calling, we lived a life like all other people in the world, caught up in sin, fueled by Satan and the demons. God's love for us will be shown through riches, not of money, but of grace and mercy given as a gift. Ephesians 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, he hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. In Romans, Paul wrote that the love we have for each other needs to be genuine love. It can't be based on falsehoods or based on evil motives. The love that we have for each other should lead us to prefer one another while considering the needs and abilities of those around us with the least, striving to live peaceably with all men. Romans 12, verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. In another section of Romans, Paul wrote that the only debt we should have is the debt of love towards others, knowing that love fulfills the law as it brings no harm to others around us, and is based on the Ten Commandments, which were written to show us how to love God and other people. Romans 13, verse 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ was not done for our own self-interest. If all we do is consider that Jesus died and was resurrected so he could pay the penalty for our sins, we are coming up short in what is expected of us. To the Galatians, Paul wrote that the liberty we have been given, the freedom from the penalty of sin, is to be used in service to one another through love. That as we do this, we will be walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Paul then describes the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit and urges us to walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5, verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the love is fulfilled in one word, even in this. And shall love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. We are called to be part of the Church of God at this time, knowing that the Kingdom of God will be a future reality. We also know that the Church of God exists to prepare us and others for this future reality, and within it has members with various responsibilities, so that we not only come to the unity of the faith, but are able to speak the truth in love. The fact that Paul wrote that a purpose of the church is so that we can speak the truth in love should highlight the concept that it is possible to speak the truth without love. When we speak the truth without love, we make it easier for Satan to bring deception into the church, while also making it harder for each of us to become Christ-like. When we do not have love in our actions, we are like the Gentiles, who rely solely on their intellect. If we have the truth of God without love, we have an intellectual understanding of the truth, and it means as much to us as any set of facts and figures. Instead of a relationship with the truth that is based on love, that allows the love of God to grow within us and expand to others, we have a knowledge that functions like facts and figures. This type of knowledge doesn't bring us closer to God the Father and Jesus Christ. It makes us more like the Gentiles with all the problems that people who do not know God have. Ephesians 4, verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascendeth up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that is ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which is after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Living our life as we are called by God does not mean that we will be renewed through the Holy Spirit that is within us as we live our life, not based on a life where we know the truth in the absence of love, but where we know the truth and act in love. The love will not be a blind love where we ignore the realities of the time and place in which we live, and will help us to realize that evil that exists in our present reality. Our awareness of that evil should cause us to focus on the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, first knowing that the God who through mercy gave us the sacrifice and resurrection of Jesus Christ so that we could have eternal life is the same God who will need to take action against an unrepentant world. With the love we have and the knowledge of what must come prior to the establishment of the kingdom of God on earth will also be a sober understanding of prophecy, knowing that false claims of peace and safety will come before times of incredible trouble on earth. To protect ourselves during these uncertain times, Paul writes that we are to put on the breastplate of faith and love with hope for salvation as the helmet. How we arm ourselves, how we weaponize ourselves, will determine our fate with salvation. We will not arm or weaponize ourselves with the devices and tools of mankind, but we will arm and weaponize ourselves spiritually by focusing on faith, hope, and love so that we can have salvation through Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1. But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye brethren are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you. In his first letter, John wrote that we are not to love the things that are in the world. The Greek word that John used is cosmos, Strong's Greek word 2889, from which we in the English language get the word cosmopolitan. Beyond just the building and governments which are created by mankind, cosmos refers to the character and morality of the people who live on planet Earth. What John is writing about is the need for all who are called to love the spiritual life we have been called to while rejecting the character and morality of people who make up this world. John is not telling us to hate the people, to despise the people, or condemn the people. Even Jesus had compassion on the people. Instead, we are called to seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, which will be an eternal kingdom, rejecting lust and self-pride that comes through life and the accomplishments that accompany a physical life. Maybe you are a homeowner and listening to this sermon. There's a difference in being grateful to God for being a homeowner and having pride over homeownership. Pride deflects credit from God, His mercy, His generosity, His kindness, and instead puts that all on us. Consistently throughout the Bible, we are taught to seek the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, and all things we need will be given to us. As we have gratitude to God for what we have been given, we eliminate pride from our life because what we have is the gift of God. To have a home, we may have had to work very hard to obtain the home by saving for a down payment, making monthly payments, and maintaining the home all while paying property taxes. That home is still the gift of God because it is possible for a person to do everything for home ownership and still not be a homeowner for a variety of reasons. The world we live in will pass away, and the kingdom of God will endure forever. 1 John 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. As we move closer to the end of our life, we also move closer to the end of time with the many prophetic warnings of what to expect. These warnings are given for our benefit so we are not caught off guard. Jesus gave such a prophetic warning to his disciples shortly before his death, showing what would be the beginning of troubles and how society would degenerate. He then added that because sin would abound, the love of many would grow cold. If we want to be saved, if we want to be in the kingdom of God, we cannot allow our love to grow cold. We are all part of the church of God, which knows about the gospel of the kingdom of God that must be preached into all the world before the end of time. We must endure to the end. We must not allow our love to grow cold. We must not allow our continuous fulfilling of the law to grow cold. We cannot allow ourselves to degenerate so that instead of having love that fulfills the law of God, we have intellectual knowledge, the scriptures. Matthew 24, verse 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the building of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left one here, one stone upon another, that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming, and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, and see that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. We can look around the world with all of its troubles, and we can see the many who come in the name of Jesus. We hear of wars and rumors of wars, with famines, pandemics, and natural disasters in many, many places. We can see the handwriting that is on the wall, and what we see might give us cause for worry or concern. We are to have neither. We are called to be loved by God and Jesus Christ at a time when many will be sent a strong delusion by God to believe a lie. Just like God kicked Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden so they could not partake of the tree of life after having partaken of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, God gives a strong delusion so that those who are not called and under the sway of Satan will also not have access to life while committed to evil. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I was told you these things? For now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For this mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs, lying wonders, with all deceivableness and of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks alway to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or by epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Through love, our hearts are comforted, and we are established in every good work and word, so that we can obtain salvation, eternal life, through Jesus Christ. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together tomorrow as we continue to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. Until then, thank you for joining us today.